12. The sun beat on her bare head, and the burnt-up grass along the top of the cliff, and the dusty road that passed the gate, and the glittering sea, and the few white clouds hanging in the sky, all blazed and glared in an extremity of silent, motionless heat and light. Into this emptiness, Lucy stared, motionless herself, as if she had been carved in stone. There was not a sail on the sea, nor a line of distant smoke from any steamer, neither was there once the flash of a bird's wing brushing across the sky. Movement seemed smitten rigid. Sound seemed to have gone to sleep. Lucy stood staring at the sea, her face as empty of expression as the bright blank world before her. Her father had been dead 3 hours, and she felt nothing. It was just a week since they had arrived in Cornwall, she and he, full of hope, full of pleasure in the pretty little furnished house they had taken for August and September, full of confidence in the good the pure air was going to do him. But there had always been confidence. There had never been a moment during the long years of his fragility when confidence had even been questioned. He was delicate, and she had taken care of him. She had taken care of him, and he had been delicate ever since she could remember. And ever since she could remember, he had been everything in life to her. She had had no thought since she grew up for anybody but her father. There was no room for any other thought, so completely did he fill her heart. They had done everything together, shared everything together, dodged the winters together, settled in charming places, seen the same beautiful things, read the same books, talked, laughed, had friends, heaps of friends. Wherever they were, her father seemed at once to have friends, adding them to the mass he had already. She had not been away from him a day for years. She had had no wish to go away. Where and with whom could she be so happy as with him? All the years were years of sunshine. There had been no winters, nothing but summer, summer and sweet scents and soft skies, and patient understanding with her slowness, for he had the nimblest mind. And love. He was the most amusing companion to her, the most generous friend, the most illuminating guide, the most adoring father. And now he was dead, and she felt nothing. Her father, dead, forever. She said the words over to herself. They meant nothing. She was going to be alone, without him, always. She said the words over to herself. They meant nothing. Up in that room with its windows wide open, shut away from her with the two village women, he was lying dead. He had smiled at her for the last time, said all he was ever going to say to her, called her the last of the sweet, half-teasing names he loved to invent for her. Why, only a few hours ago they were having breakfast together and planning what they would do that day. Why, only yesterday they drove together after tea towards the sunset, and he had seen, with his quick eyes that saw everything, some unusual grasses by the roadside, and had stopped and gathered them, excited to find such rare ones, and had taken them back with him to study, and had explained them to her and made her see profoundly interesting, important things in them, in these grasses which, till he touched them, had seemed just grasses. That is what he did with everything. Touched it into life and delight. The grasses lay in the dining room now, waiting for him to work on them, spread out where he had put them on some blotting paper in the window. She had seen them as she came through on her way to the garden, and she had seen, too, that the breakfast was still there, the breakfast they had had together, still as they had left it, forgotten by the servants in the surprise of death. He had fallen down as he got up from it, dead. In an instant. No time for anything, for a cry, for a look. Gone. Finished. Wiped out. What a beautiful day it was. And so hot. He loved heat. They were lucky in the weather. Yes. There were sounds after all. She suddenly noticed them. Sounds from the room upstairs.